Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, has a heavyweight offer for this weekend's fight with 100-1 odds. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 when you bet on the main card fighter to win. That's code FANRUN in all caps. For a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook, must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Showtime, folks!
Oh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
Situation. So listen to me, sister, listen, maybe you can help. I think I give a lot of fathers my consideration, but not for me, and I was sending it for someone else.
Welcome into Overtime, Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, live from the Fan Run Radio studios. It's Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, and special guest from the Drive, GP3, Trey Patterson, in the building with us. Fellas, how are we doing on this lovely, chilly, hot Wednesday afternoon?
I'm doing pretty good. I always enjoy a chance to get some more mic time.
Of course, Open door policy, yeah, as always. Tucker, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
Showed up in your swimmies today?
Yeah, I'm in my swimming trunks today.
Expecting a flood?
No.
You got a life jacket on board as well?
I had to work my unnamed lifeguard job today. Still going through training, learning all the...
They won't even give you a name?
I mean, unnamed to the public.
I got you.
You know?
Do lifeguards wear name tags?
I don't know, probably. They haven't given me one.
Fair enough.
I thought they just put the name on the back of the shirt you're wearing.
That would make sense. Wear like a jersey. Yeah. I'd be cool with that.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah,
that
give me a number, too. Just that, like, let me pick one. It'd be fine.
Just like each kid you save, you get... So you start at... Everyone's at number zero.
Yeah.
And then each kid you save, you work up your jersey number. So
that'd
it's
be... Actually, that'd be pretty cool.
It's a stat line. Like,
it's a tragic number, though.
No. Kids you save. Save. We're not putting the dead kids on the back.
Well, does it go down if you don't save one? So...
Oh, no.
You just got a bunch of negative ones and negative twos running around.
We're not swimming at this pool, honey. Let's go. But no, today we're going through training, learning how to rescue people, stuff like that. It is pretty cool. The only problem that I've had with it so far...
Is the saving part?
No, I'm doing good with all that stuff. Like, that stuff's fine. It's the... We had to train today. And, you know, to train how to save someone in a pool, you got to be in a pool, mm-hmm, right? So at the place I'm at, it has an indoor pool and an outdoor pool and some water slides. You know, we're going to have to look over that
pretty
stuff.
Pretty neat.
But the indoor pool,
what's
nice.
What's your favorite water slide there?
I haven't rode any of them yet. It's not been pretty outside.
Fair
it's
enough.
Been it's been Fair cloudy enough. And rainy. To my point, we have an indoor pool, heated, nice. It was full this morning. Couldn't do training in there. People of the hotel were using the indoor pool. They weren't using the pool that was outside because it was 48 degrees and it was raining.
Yeah, I went to go get gas today, which didn't end up happening, but it was 53 degrees at like 11:30.
Pretty chilly, right?
Yeah. I put on sweatpants and a hoodie.
Yep. I put on swimming trunks and got into a pool. And had to practice rescuing people, and I froze to death. Granted, that pool was heated, but it had rained, so the water was cold.
Well, so, during
it was
the,
awful.
During the summer, when it rains or like when it's nighttime, that's when the pool gets really warm because the temperature on the outside dips. It's like a bathtub. That's my favorite time
right.
to swim. Night swimming is always the best.
But not when it's 48 degrees outside.
No, fair.
I was very cold.
Morning swimming is very different from night swimming. Morning swimming is something you shouldn't do. Night swimming is something everyone should do at least once.
Yeah.
GP3, you a big swimmer?
I go to the beach every summer.
Okay, that's completely different
That is just 100% a different thing. I do not get
the ocean is harder.
The ocean is harder than a pool. Not touch a pool. I'll get into every single day.
See, I'm kind of the same way. I go to the beach every summer, but I don't actually get in the ocean all that much.
What's your cutoff? You going
about
chest
knee
deep? Knee deep? Okay, knee deep. That's respectable.
I'll go way out there. I love the ocean, man.
See, I fish when I go to the beach.
Right.
I fish a lot.
Okay, I got
so
you.
I know what's in the water. And
yeah,
I just
freaks you out.
A lot of family down in Charleston. A lot of family down. In that area, that neck of the woods over off the beach. And so I've been thousands of times, used to go in the water all the time. And then, like, I was, like, probably 14, 15 last time I went to the beach. Just, like, 9 different things kept brushing up against me. It was crabs, seaweed. I got stung by a jellyfish. Was not an enjoyable time.
I've been stung by a jellyfish before, too.
I haven't. I've avoided that. I went to Myrtle Beach one year when there was, like, a, I don't know what the phenomenon is. Is whenever
phenomenon,
like,
you had it right.
Like tons and tons of jellyfish like wash ashore, and there's a ton in the in the water.
That's
it's like
just, that's just called tides, and like, well, if the water gets too warm in one part, all
they're
the,
migrating.
I was there when it was like a historical migration,
mm-hmm.
and somehow I avoided it. Even though many times there was like three or four around me in
the
water that I had to like find a way to get away from.
It's impressive, man. It's impressive.
No, it was
terrifying. Didn't bring your butterfly net?
No, I did. They would wash up on shore and like. Kind of dry out and die, but they would still
they can still sing you.
Yeah,
it's like
you,
a wasp.
You watch the tentacles, but like to mess with a jellyfish, like to look at one up close, they're weird. They're aliens too.
It's a fish made out of jelly.
They're
it's
aliens.
Crazy. Oh yeah, squids, octopuses, anything with tentacles, aliens.
Not from this world.
No, they are not. They are not from this world. I went to the beach one time. I don't remember what beach I was at. I think it was in Florida, and there was this very similar situation, but with horseshoe crabs. And horseshoe crabs are some of the scariest looking things you will ever lay your eyes on.
Scary?
They look scary, but they're harmless.
Yeah.
They don't
but
do anything to you.
Okay, they were all dead, so they were harmless
for?
Regardless.
No, those are
hermit crabs.
Hermit crabs.
No, I'm talking like they're little.
Yeah, they are not little. Horseshoe crabs are monster crabs.
Oh, they're big.
Yes, they're the biggest version of a crab. They're a very intimidating brand.
When you pick them up, they got this long tail that kind of looks spiky, but
it's like a mix between a stingray and a shellfish.
They're all over Florida.
Yeah, there was one of those types of massacres.
Oh.
Yeah, you want to rescind your insults of my
nervousness? Not an insult. I was misunderstood.
What? You're scared of horseshoe crabs?
No, I totally get it now.
Yeah, you understand?
Yeah, no.
Did you see the football fish is what they were calling it?
Yeah,
the
I did
sea
see
creature that.
That
washed
yeah, it
was
a type of angler
it
fish.
Like a smoker's lung
it was
up
disgusting.
On shore. That was crazy.
That's
bro.
One of those where, isn't that where the jaw, like when they bite, it actually goes forward?
It's like the fish from Finding Nemo.
Yeah. Isn't it the one with the light in front of it?
It has a light on its head, but its jaw also like extends when
it's
it
like,
bites.
What's
it's like
that movie? Predator?
Okay, sure. The Xenomorph? The alien?
What's the one
it's
that
alien.
It opens its mouth and then there's another
it's
mouth
alien.
Inside of it? Yeah, sure,
it's alien.
I'm not a big sci-fi guy.
Yeah, it's a xenomorph. Yes, you are correct. That would be what that is.
I'm glad I was correct.
The anglerfishes are aliens. You're right.
I mean, not from this world.
They're
deep sea, terrifying. I don't know if you've ever done some research on like what's like underneath like the light barrier. Like one light
mm-hmm.
goes away. Crazy looking fish are down there.
It's called like the midnight zone or something like that.
It's a very interesting YouTube wormhole to get down to.
No, I don't think there exists a time in history or in the future, not history. We already know what there, where we know what's going on down there.
If you had to go one place, you know you survive. We'll go ahead and put it. You know you survive. There's no life or death situation. It's just having to be in that situation and be scared the whole time.
Okay.
Would you rather go exploring with like James Cameron in one of those Midnight Zone submarines, or would you rather go to space?
Oh, space.
Space.
Easy.
Space.
Space, really?
Yeah, because, I mean, when you're down there, I mean, sure, you'll have like a light, but all you're really going to see is fish.
What are you going to see in space? Like,
planets. You can see planets from a good distance. The sun's pretty bright. Earth, the blue marble.
You haven't seen the sun before?
Okay, but in space, I'm sure it looks a little different in space. You know?
Fair. I just like I think I've seen everything from space from here. I don't think I've ever seen anything down deep in the ocean. It would be a new experience.
It'd still be cool to just be able to say
see
that you
Earth.
Went to space.
Yeah.
And like
yeah, but how cool would it be? Like,
okay, you're at a party.
People, how many astronauts have there been and how many people have been to the midnight zone of the ocean, GP3? I'll wait on the stats.
Probably pretty
I would say
probably pretty even.
Probably not. I would say a lot of people go down to the midnight zone.
I just don't think that's
compared
true.
To the moon.
What?
Compared to the
moon.
No,
I said space. I said space.
Oh,
I didn't say
space.
To
okay.
the moon.
Okay, that's fair.
If you have a solid destination, yeah, going to the moon would be pretty cool. But I mean,
okay.
you can't get out either
in
way.
In space?
You can't get out of the submarine. You can't get out of your spaceship
I'd
when you're just cruising.
Even.
You're doing an orbit around Earth and landing back, or you're going down, going through the Marianas Trench and coming back up. Like, you don't get out of the submarine. You're not going to the moon or just going underwater.
Okay.
Like
okay.
you're going
okay.
to space or underwater.
Give me space.
Space.
Still give me space.
That's
yeah.
fair. That's fair.
Space is cool.
Yeah, it's a vacuum.
I'm just saying, like, space is objectively, like, as a kid.
Awesome, yeah.
As a kid, how many kids were obsessed with the deep sea, like the very bottom of the ocean, or how many kids were obsessed with space?
Well, that's just propaganda.
It's because it's cool.
No, NASA's just
it's
in
It's because
your head.
It's objectively cool.
NASA
and
just wants all the nerds they can get.
The science backs it up.
There's a reason we've never explored. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I said, how many people have gone to space versus going deep sea fishing? Or not deep sea fishing. That's a stupid statement. Everyone goes deep sea fishing.
I was about to say, yeah.
But, like, deep sea exploring under into the midnight zone. I would believe that a lot more people have gone to space because it's very much hyped up. Like, did you want to be an astronaut when you were younger?
I'm sure at one point.
I wanted yeah. to be an astronaut. I'm sure you wanted to as well. My,
yeah. I wanted to be Buzz Lightyear
see, the thing
specifically.
That, the thing that knocked me off is I knew I had too big of a head to fit in those little like bowls. Like I knew I could not
nah,
get my
you got
head.
It now.
Now?
Yeah, I think you got it now.
I think I grew into my head.
Yeah,
like,
your
I,
body
head,
got bigger.
My head was like the only thing that like came into the world fully grown.
You
I was
were
like
George Lopez's yeah. child.
Yes, 100%. 100%.
Space.
Good talk, guys. Good talk. No,
great intro.
I'm trying to think of a way to segue. We do this a lot where we just go down left turns
yeah,
and then there's no way to segue out of it.
Sometimes you just got to tuck and roll and escape. Like it's a, like a moving car.
Rocket ships use fuel, correct? Rocket
they do.
Fuel?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
There's a fuel shortage going on
oh
in America.
God.
What a segue.
This infuriates me to no
is
end.
Is there, though, or is
no!
it just hyped
no,
up?
No, I mean, there is
okay.
now. There is
so,
now.
So there was hype for a possible fuel shortage. You know, there was like a cyber attack on some pipeline.
Yeah, I believe it was Dark Side. Russian hackers
something
came
like
in and,
sure.
and hacked the Colonial Pipeline. There's now
yeah.
they have two more strongholds, one in Brazil and one
they,
in
they
Scotland.
They hacked another one?
They hacked two more.
Oh, wow.
Hacked two
hawked.
More.
Hawked.
I mean, they intercepted them, so you could like,
yeah.
you could spin that. But, so there was hype for one. I mean, the cyber attack happened and then people were like, uh-oh, fuel shortage. This is going to be bad. And so that hype caused people to go out and buy all the fuel and create a shortage. Like, I think if nobody panics, we're fine. They're already getting that pipeline up and running by it's already it should be already up and running
yeah.
again. They said by 5 o'clock today.
See, the interesting thing to me was the issue, like, the hack wasn't, like, they didn't, like, it's a cyber hack. They didn't, like, show up and, like, shut
yeah,
off
sure.
the pipeline. It wasn't like there was a gun
turn the valve,
in
bro.
A hostage situation. They hacked them and then had, like, business papers that they were going to release to the public showing like how poorly everything is run in that government area. That's the same reason why they did Scotland and Brazil. They were doing it to basically overthrow government proceedings, and instead of, you know, letting papers be leaked, the government said, oh no, people don't deserve gas then, which is a very funny thing to think. My question is, at the same time as the gas shortage, there's a Chick-fil-A sauce shortage, not just Chick-fil-A sauce, but sauces in general from the Chick-fil-A place of business.
We have about 20 Polynesian sauces out
that
there.
Actually,
that
actually,
I added a ranch to that.
That came from me. I ordered DoorDash one day trying to just get my typical Chick-fil-A sauce ranch.
You're a sauce hoarder? You're the worst type of American.
No, I mean, I had a regular order.
If you
order,
sauce hoard, the Russian hackers win.
I had three sauces. And
obviously
what I order,
not. There
it's
is
what
30
I
sauces out
I don't
there
even like
right
Polynesian
now.
Sauce. That's why they're still here.
Ooh, that's... I'm gonna
it's
clip.
Gross.
I'm going to clip that.
That's a rough take.
It's
Polynesian
sauce. I'm not saying it's bad.
I don't
I'm
like
just saying
sauce
I don't
either.
Like it. I don't rock with Polynesian sauce on my chicken.
Isn't it just sweet and sour sauce or am I wrong?
It's their version.
Their
of,
version.
Of
it's
sweet and sour.
I like the I've tried Polynesian sauce. I didn't like immediately throw up, but it's not better than Chick-fil-A sauce to
comes
me.
Comes in contact with your tongue and you just start dry
yeah,
heaving.
Like, I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world. I just if I put up Chick-fil-A sauce and Polynesian, Chick-fil-A sauce is hitting 1,000.
No, that's very fair. You know their Chick-fil-A sauce is just Carolina barbecue sauce.
Sure, yeah,
it's
I don't
their
care.
Honey roast, it's their honey roasted barbecue
it's
that
good.
They just repackaged because it didn't sell as honey roasted barbecue.
It's very good.
It's a fire sauce, though,
yeah,
I agree.
It's fantastic.
My question is this a coincidence or are the two connected? Gasoline shortage and sauce shortage.
Well, I mean, was there a cyber attack on the sauce?
I have no idea. I'm just
because
thinking,
I
like,
think
like,
that's
if there's
actually...
a gasoline shortage and now there's a sauce shortage, does that mean that Chick-fil-A puts gasoline in their sauces?
I mean, it gives you that fuel to go.
Play the X-Files theme.
Yeah. Actually, we have that in here somewhere. I wish I was ready for that wild take, Will.
I got another one. That was my most wild one.
Okay, sure.
This is a little bit more of a real conspiracy theory. I think there's no sauce shortage. I think they're not selling enough bottles of the sauce. They just put bottles of the sauce. I have a Polynesian and a Chick-fil-A in my own home right now.
Both.
Many people have the sauce bottles. It's a sick marketing concept, but if they're not selling, what's a good way to get them to sell off the shelves?
Make them think the sauce is disappearing.
Exactly. Now you're going to go buy bottles of sauces, and now you don't even have to get sauce from Chick-fil-A when you get Chick-fil-A.
That one,
you keep
stick
that
with
thing
that
on you.
Stick with that one, Will. That one actually makes somewhat logical sense.
See, but I think the other one's funnier. Like, gasoline in the sauces.
There's a bit of, you know, that to it. But I think you might be right on this, actually. It's a decent market strategy.
I'm telling you, man. Like, everything's a conspiracy theory.
It's supply and demand.
Enough. It is. Yes, it is. Supply.
Except, at least people aren't going out and buying those sauces in the store and squirting them into plastic bags.
Yeah,
like people are doing with gasoline.
I went to go buy a dime bag of gas today and got liquid.
I was upset. Wow. Like, have you seen the videos of people having, like, trash bags in their car trunk?
Yeah, they look like big. They look like giant Capri Suns.
And gasoline eats through that, does it not?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure.
It's going there to. You're going to end up with a trunk full of gas.
No, a lady went viral, I believe it was 2018, 2019, where she had filled up plastic bags of gas and then put them in her trunk. And then 2 minutes later, her car catches on fire and, like, almost kills her. And it was a Daily Mail article I was looking up today, making memes and, like, doing some research on what the gas shortage is all about. There's people throwing the white giant, I don't know how many gallons tanks there are, but the giant white tanks with the metal cages around it, everyone's seen those before.
Yes.
People are filling those with gas. People are filling
that's
regular
just for
Tupperwares
water.
With gas. Yeah, it is a crazy thing going on out there. So go get your gas if you can, or if you need it.
How do they expect to get the gas from the plastic bags into their tank?
That's what I've been thinking. I guess maybe they've got a funnel.
No,
and they're going to.
You can just get a hose and siphon it. Hold it at an angle. I've siphoned gas before. It's
right,
not that
right.
hard.
Right, you're good at it.
The hardest part of siphoning gas is like getting the taste of gas out of your mouth.
Right.
It's the only challenging part.
It's just
if you
want to
suck.
The thought process.
Like, I don't know if Southerners want to suck that much.
Wow. I the thought process of putting gasoline into a plastic bag. Like, at what point? No, but first off, the point that I would realize I'm an idiot is whenever I had the idea. If I thought
anything other than my tank.
If I thought about it. I would be like, whoa.
I don't think I've ever filled my tank up all the way full, nonetheless gotten extra
come
gas.
On, man.
I think
you gotta fill up.
No, we get $20 and we see how long it takes us. I drive a hybrid. Get off of me.
Okay. All right. Whatever.
When you take advantage of those Kroger fuel rewards, you gotta fill up. Just throw $20 in.
Fair. Yeah. Yeah, you gotta get your full discount.
I'm not a discount guy.
Yeah. I'm too lazy to sign up at the cashier.
Oh, I mean,
ask me every time.
Speaking of Chick-fil-A, every time I go to Chick-fil-A, I forget to give them my app. I've only have like 2 points on my app, but I've been there probably 30 times since I've downloaded that app.
I could own a Chick-fil-A, by the way.
I think we have like 5,000 points.
My
God.
You can get like the menu. You could just take their menu.
Yeah, I'd like
out.
One.
Let me see.
I'd like one Chick-fil-A, please. And
I'd like one franchise.
And I know y'all got sauce in the back. The points will give me that.
I know, it's been a crazy day just to watch people hoard things. It's very, very interesting.
Yeah,
very
and
interesting.
The fact that pipeline's opening back up, how dumb do those people feel?
Yeah.
You just went and bought $800 worth of gas.
It's the same thing with the toilet paper and the bread and all those things at the beginning of COVID.
And this was resolved even quicker than the toilet paper. People panic bought toilet paper.
Would you
for
like
a month.
To announce it or would I like to?
I think we used some of our points, so I think we're down to 2,243.
Good
Chick-fil-A
Lord.
Points now.
That's impressive.
You don't get very many for going.
That's more Dogecoin. That's more points.
Yeah, if you could convert that to Doge, you'd be a rich man.
I sold my Doge on the night he was on SNL.
Yeah,
good move.
Bought on the night he was on SNL.
God, Will.
Resold last night. Bought back in. I lost $20 total. I let it rise back. I lost.
You gotta leave it in.
I lost 70, and I got all the way back up to 20, and then it went. It was like it wasn't coming back to 62, which what I bought it at. So there was no chance I was making my money back.
No, but it would in a month.
Listen.
Okay.
So I sold everything. And then bought back in at 47, so I'm like 15 cents lower than I was, or however you want to do the math. I don't know the exact math of it, but I'm like a lot less in there. But now if it rises, I can get my $20 back if it does go on that run. Worst things, I lose $20.
Okay.
Ethereum's on the rise. Okay. I bought some Anchor Coin last night.
Crypto Will?
Yeah, no big deal.
All right.
I can't gamble on sports because there's no sports I enjoy gambling on right now, so I like have to gamble on
baseball's
the stock
fun.
Market.
You got to give some baseball games.
I don't know enough to gamble
that's
on baseball.
That's the key.
I guess I say I don't know enough about baseball to gamble, but I've been throwing all of my money into crypto coins that I have
no idea about. You know less about crypto than you do baseball.
At least with sports betting, it's like an immediate return.
Yeah. Very good point.
Yeah, or immediate sadness.
Yeah, very good point by both. Very good point by both. Hit a quick break. Speaking of baseball, Tennessee, big series this weekend. Tony Vitello just hopped on with the drive. Shout out Coach V. Tony V, one day we will poach him and get to pick his brain, but I have yet to ask Russ if we can poach him. But one day we'll get someone on there. But make sure you go check out that interview from the drive. It was very interesting. We'll talk all about Tennessee baseball, breaking down their newsletter they put out today, as well as I want to break down the walk-up songs. I went and found all of Tennessee baseball players' walk-up songs. I want to break them down, see what y'all's walk-up song would be, play around with those ideas. Tennessee baseball when we get back. Hey, welcome back in. Fan and Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Overtime, continuing, rolling right along. Will Stevens, Tucker Holt. I almost said John Fulkerson. It's GP3. It's my guy. But, man, it's sad when you constantly have reminders from people just like that. But it doesn't matter. We're getting right into baseball. Big series, final series of final home series for SEC play. I believe we probably have one more series to go. A scary game. Was that last night? If I'm not mistaken, it was last night, correct? We played Tech.
Yeah.
A very, very scary win. I didn't watch the game. I'm not going to pretend to be a giant baseball fan. I was watching some other things that sounded sus. But I was not watching the game, and I dang it. I look up at the score, look up the score and trying to keep track on Twitter. I enjoy at least watching what goes down on the timeline. And it was 9-0.
That's when I saw it.
Ortega, someone hit their first home run last night. I can't remember the name, but first career home run last night. And all of a sudden, I blink, and it's 10-6. And all of a sudden, Tennessee Tech is trying to make a comeback. Worrisome. Do you know the final score of that ball game?
Yeah, final score was 10-8.
Yeah, they scored 6 in the 8 and 2 in the 9.
It was 9-0.
Yeah, I saw it was 9-0, and then I didn't check again until the game was over. And I just saw the final score tweet on my timeline, and I saw 10-8. And I was like, what the hell happened?
Yeah. Yeah, we had a freshman on the bump late in the game.
Yeah, I would imagine they were just trying to get some other guys.
What freshman was it?
I'm not exactly sure. I don't think it was who you're hoping it was.
It wasn't Drew Patterson. No, I was hoping it's not Drew Patterson because if you give up 8 runs to Tennessee Tech, that's not good.
Sure. I get
what
you're saying.
It wasn't my guy.
Okay,
It was not Drew Patterson.
It was not as far as I'm aware.
Shout out Drew Patterson, still undefeated on the season, I think.
Let's not get too ahead of ourselves. I'll figure it out.
Please go find that out. But Vols with a big, big series this weekend. Fourth-ranked Vols host the are they still top-ranked? Yep, still top-ranked Arkansas Razorbacks. We did the pig draft on Monday in honor of this big series. It hasn't shrunk. It's still just as big of a series. Obviously, you heard Tony V with the guys off the drive last night. But some important details going on in the newsletter. I'll just go ahead and read about Friday. Series kicks off on Friday with Jerseys on the Seats, presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Every seat in the grandstands. What's the grandstands? Is that just
where we sat? And so, then below us, like bleachers, like an actual seat, not bleachers.
So not just, okay, I got you.
Right? Is that the grandstands and then out to the...
I thought the grandstands were the bleachers, but I have no idea.
I would think the grandstands are like that. What's right behind home plate, and then goes like to the dugout.
It would make more sense if it was just where the seats are, so you could put one on each.
Yeah,
seat,
just the seats, because down like past the bases, it turns into bleachers, and then there's the pavilion.
Right.
I don't think you'll have them down there.
The main seating area, unusually roof, commanding the best view for spectators at racetracks or sports stadiums. Yeah. That's the definition of a grandstand.
It's got the seat.
There will be a jersey on every seat in the grandstand. It's either going to be a throwback VFL t-shirt jersey design or the fan favorite cream Vols t-shirt jersey.
Ooh.
So pretty sneak. Speaking of the cream
Vols.
Get
there early, and if you see a cream near your section and you want it, just
switch it.
Swap.
Well, we are checkering Nealon, so you got to make sure. I don't think that's that night, but make sure you, if you're planning to go to the checker.
We're not checker Nealon.
Lindsay Nelson. Yeah, thank you. My apologies.
Yeah, that'd be kind of, yeah, everybody goes.
If everyone showed up at Neyland.
Everybody goes to Neyland, checkers Neyland's like, yeah! And the baseball stadium's just empty.
But no, they'll be checkering Lindsay Nelson Saturday's noon game, so make sure you wear your color corresponding, or your corresponding color. But I know they're also going to have a pig roast, pulled pork sandwiches giveaway on Friday.
Dang.
To go along with that. But speaking of the cream vols, how did the Twitch go last night? Did we get a win?
I went undefeated. Made two guys quit. Felt good about that. Felt good. Made one guy quit in the first because I struck him out three times. And then
he just logged off?
Yeah, he was very frustrated.
What game mode are you playing it on?
Diamond Dynasty online. Like online ranked seasons.
Yeah.
Makes no sense to me.
I've put
together a decent squad.
Is that just like Madden Ultimate Team?
Yes, okay, but much better.
It's way better than
I just meant
Madden.
In terms of formatting.
It's better format, than
yes.
Getting fantasy players. Like Castellanos was your outfielder.
He's
was
my right fielder.
It's because it's not EA. EA will gouge you for all the money you have to build a good team.
Yeah, San Diego's not trying to.
You can
steal
have
your
a
money.
You can have a good team on MLB without paying for it.
There's also a lot more baseball players than any other sport. I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
to choose from.
You can follow it like stocks. There's the player's value goes up and down. But
Jackie Robinson was batting last night. I heard.
I was going against Jackie Robinson.
Yeah, I struck
him out a few times.
I watched a couple games.
Yeah,
a couple of it.
We had a good time. It was fun. So made two guys quit. Then finally got into an actual game. He hit a homer off of me in the first inning. I was a little nervous. I told everybody not to panic. I was panicked. We tied it up in the second.
You're a good manager.
We tied it up, and then the game was pretty close. I had a decent lead, but I blew it in like the eighth, and he had a one-run lead in the ninth going into the bottom of the ninth when I was hitting. And I had a walk-off, or not a walk-off, I keep saying that, hit a dinger in the bottom of the ninth to force extras, then we walked it off in the tenth.
Good work.
Do you have any former Vols on the team?
Not yet. I'm gonna...
Jason Witten?
Yeah, still, I have my baseline team right now. Pretty much, like, I haven't done anything to my team until this.
You gotta get Crochet on there.
Got his first career win last night.
Yeah.
First career win last night. He's on the White Sox. White Sox, David Barstool Sports, give him a ton of praise. Has been big on him. And so, I mean, I think that's
a
good sign.
I think he's going to be
very good.
His walk-off, I can't say walk-off in baseball.
No.
But his strut off the mound was electric. He struck out a batter and then just walked straight to the dugout.
Yeah.
It was very Barry Sanders handing the ball to the referee-esque. Just throw my pitch. Get to the dugout. A very, very professional but intimidating thing that happened there. But speaking of people who are pitching, this line right here made me smile, confused, and also just a lot of feelings. Also on Friday night, Vol Nation won't have to travel to Omaha to see a VFL known for his arm throw out the first ceremonial pitch.
Omaha?
Yeah. I wonder who that might
arm.
Be. Yeah. I mean, come on. It's pretty clear, right?
Everybody knows.
Right. I mean, yeah. It is Eric Ainge. No.
It's Peyton.
It's got to be Peyton.
It's the sheriff.
Right? It's got to.
I'm trying to find if we have any Vol fans.
I've tried to look up and see if we have quarterbacks from Omaha. I can't.
It could be Todd Helton. He played with Peyton.
But is he known for his arm or his goatee?
He's more known for his bat.
Yeah. I mean, it's Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
He better not bounce it. That's all I'm saying.
He won't bounce it.
No chance he bounces it. He's not that old yet.
If anything, throw it high.
Just sail it. What if he just hits the backstop as hard as he can? As a show of aggression.
40 miles an hour?
Yeah, just gets the crowd pumped. He just lobbed. It would be insane.
I'm trying to see if we have any alumni from any areas of Nebraska, but I can't find
it. I don't think it's got to be Peyton Manning. I don't think they would have brought up Omaha.
We asked Vitello if he had any inside information on who
wouldn't give it up.
He wouldn't say who it was. He would just tell you who it wasn't, and he said it would not be Mayor Kane, even though that's who they kind of want to come throw out a first pitch.
Gotcha. It would be cool to get the big 7-footer out there.
I still want Kane to come on here and do a mask draft. Again, who would know mask better than someone who ended the mask mandate and who wore one professionally for years?
Yeah.
Like, the dude would know mask.
You've reached out to him, haven't you?
Multiple times.
And he has yet to respond?
So, okay, I graduated high school. No big deal, I know.
Right,
and he was the guy who was there shaking people's hands afterwards, and I shook his hand and was like, yo, you're going to let me interview you, right? And he was like, yeah, I got you. And then just is yet to check. He doesn't have his Twitter DMs open.
Did you, tell him your name or, any contact
Well, it was announced.
Info? What was it? Okay.
My name. I was graduating.
Yeah, but
they said it very loud across the football stadium through the PA. Will Stevens. Like that.
He heard how many names before and after your name?
I don't know. I wasn't counting.
Yeah, bunches of them.
just go to his office.
Yeah, just show up.
I guess I could.
Yeah. Get seek.
Or just impromptu.
I'm sure he's got an assistant.
Interviews.
Yeah, for sure. Just call over there. And be like, hey. I'd like to talk to him.
I guess.
I know a
very intimidating person to just kind of walk up to.
He's a big fella.
Yeah.
I've
like,
seen him.
Any other mayor, I feel like I would be comfortable doing that. But
so sometimes I believe he has a home out towards like Jefferson County.
Let's dox him.
And I mean, that's a whole county. It's a big one. And but so I used to work at a Walmart over there, and he would sometimes do his grocery shopping there.
Ooh, I don't know if I like that.
I saw him.
Our mayor shopping at Walmart?
This is years ago.
Okay.
And still. Yeah, this
you
is
you gotta
years
have better
ago.
Standards. I'm not trying to poop on Walmart, but you are a professional wrestler.
I'm fairly sure he lives here now. But so I wanted to say hi to him a bunch. I was a huge fan of Kane growing up. I liked WWE. And I saw him maybe 4 or 5 times. One time I had the guts to say, "Hey, man, what's going on?" And he said, "Hey, what's up?" And I thought that was pretty cool because this was like when I was like 17. And but he's so big, he makes the shopping cart look tiny. And it's just like it's like Mr. Incredible, you know, like how big he is in that cartoon. Walk up to that guy and be like, "Hey, man, how you doing? You want to talk to me?" Like I never had the guts. So
I don't know if he would
I would be proud of
you.
Do if you
think,
could pull that
do you
off.
Think he would be willing to do a funny sit down? Like I don't.
It'd be good for him. Yeah.
I guess I don't know.
Yeah.
Just,
he would benefit from that.
I don't think him and I see, I don't think him and
okay,
I
but
see,
you can't like start attacking him.
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't think we see eye to eye on politics or eye to eye in general. He's 6'8". Like
he's
we
a
would
big fella.
It would have to be a comedic interview.
I think there would have to be a more meaningful purpose for him being on the show and then end it with the mask part. Like
that's what I'm saying. It's like I don't know how I would because I'm not going
to
go up and be like
we just talked to him about the WWE man. I could interview him. That'd be pretty sick.
Oh yeah,
well, I could put some questions together for that.
We gotta get some special guest on this show, man. We
remember that one time you were set on fire. Wasn't that cool?
Just do the Chris Farley.
Yeah, didn't that rock?
On his debut, where he set that camera guy on fire.
Yeah.
How'd they do that?
What was going on there, huh? Remember when you were a dentist? Wasn't that wild?
Sir Isaac Yankum.
Yeah.
I'm not a big wrestling guy.
That's a that's
little
a,
before my time.
Or
Isaac
what
Yankum.
About when he was Fake Diesel?
Fake Diesel? Yeah, and he looked exactly the same. They just changed the costume.
Fake Diesel, that's topical.
Fake Diesel? Yeah, I'm seeing places. Why is Diesel going up is my question.
Well, Diesel's the only thing that's like all the pumps at Weigel's, Diesel was the only one you could choose from because not everyone drives Diesel. So
I guess so.
If you drive something that like takes Diesel, congrats.
I saw some places they put a piece of paper over the regular gas and was like, "Sorry, we're temporarily not selling regular gas." I lifted up the piece of paper and it was blinking, and I was like, "I clicked it anyway."
You get the gas?
It pumped, yeah.
Oh wow! They just
want you to get. Yeah,
we might have authorities knocking on our door. I think we need. We'll take a break. Barricade the door because you just admitted to
a
class
A
felony.
That's a little scary.
We'll be right back.
Hey, folks.
Over time, hour one, getting ready to end. I got an interesting article right here, quick basketball. I'm a basketball guy, so we're going to have a ton of basketball throughout this offseason, and this was an interesting article I found on CBSSports.com. The College Basketball Conference Power Rankings, not power rankings inside of the conferences, but ranking the conferences individually and seeing where everyone kind of stacks up. Now, normally, I think everyone would think ACC at the top, but ACC has kind of fallen off.
They had a bad year.
They did, and it's not looking like it's going to get any better. There's been rumors of Goldwire was talking about a replacement for possibly Coach K. It's a very, very interesting things developing in the ACC. ACC, I'll just go ahead and tell you, is not at the top of this list. What conference do
was
you think?
Is this based off of last year?
This is a preseason, but based off last year, obviously, but it is for this upcoming season.
It's going to probably be the Big Ten.
Pac-12.
Are those your two guesses?
That's my guess.
I'd say Pac-12 just because they won the title and they had the most teams advance far.
See, I would suggest you two combining your answers to make a
Okay, the Big 12.
It
that was my
Big
second
12.
Choice.
It is the Big 12. They are the number one according to CBS.com. They were first in NCAA tournament bid percentage, 7 out of 10. They were third in NCAA tournament record, 11-6. They were first in top 75 NBA draft prospects. That's 12, 1.2 per team. Fourth in net ranking, 66.7. And first in net ranking, excluding bottom two teams. So Big 12 up there on that list by the numbers. Interesting. I don't think anybody's surprised by that. I mean, you two both didn't say the Big 12, but once you say it, makes
sense.
Yeah,
yeah, it makes complete sense.
Texas getting Chris Beard, adding a bunch of key pieces in the transfer portal and recruiting game. You have Baylor, obviously, at the top, and they have not looked to be slowing down, adding even more transfer portal players. It's going to be a very, very interesting conference. GP, you were on the money with number two, as it is the Pac-12 right here. They were fifth in NCAA tournament bid percentage. It's 5 out of 12, but they were first in NCAA tournament record, 13-5. Obviously, all five teams ended up losing, but they all made the Sweet 16, which is a very impressive feat. They were first in NCAA tournament, or fourth in top 75 NBA draft prospects at seven. They were second in average net ranking and third in average net ranking, excluding the bottom two teams. Third is the Big Ten. No surprise there. The only surprise is we haven't seen the SEC or the ACC yet. But the Big Ten is up there. Obviously, number one seed Michigan was the last remaining team out of that conference in the NCAA. So not a very impressive tournament percentage, but still solid teams, adding pieces, not a lot of pieces leaving from those teams. So it's going to be interesting to see how all that shapes out. They were second in NCAA tournament bid percentage, sixth in NCAA tournament record, fifth in top 75 draft prospects, first in net ranking, and second in net ranking, excluding bottom two teams. Fourth is where the SEC comes into play. They obviously, Tennessee, Alabama, Arkansas, all on the rise, as well as Kentucky trying to get back to their supremacy that they have had. Very, very interesting there with the SEC. I think they're a little low.
That's what I was just saying.
I would have said switch the Big Ten and the SEC, but like when you look at these teams, it makes sense. Like UCLA is pegged to have a very good season, as well as USC and some other these schools that are starting to build. Colorado's fourth in recruiting ranking. I don't think a lot of people realize that. They are building something there as well. It's going to be a very interesting thing, but I would suggest Big Ten and SEC flipping, just because you have a Kentucky and LSUs and teams like that that have been pretty decent, and then you have these three teams in Arkansas, Alabama, and Tennessee on a very, very meteoric rise, as well as Auburn coming off their postseason ban. I think the SEC is going to have a very good season this year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're coming up to, I think, an era of the SEC where we're going to constantly have a ton, at least way higher of an average, way higher than average teams in the tournament. Like, our talent level has probably, I mean, with the amount of teams that have the elite talent in the SEC, it's probably doubled over the last, like, 3 years.
I agree with that. You've had teams come up and down before, but it never have you seen
everybody all at once.
Exactly, exactly. The only thing I would say about the SEC is they are the only team, or out of the top four, if you would want to switch any of them to make us in the top three, we are the only conference that wasn't first place in any of those by-the-number statistics
right.
I was suggesting, so that's why you find yourself at fourth. You are on a rise, but you did not have a fantastic performance last year, as you were fourth in NCAA tournament bid percentage. Only six out of 14 teams from the SEC get through. You were fourth in NCAA tournament record at 7-6. That's 53.8%. That's not pretty good.
That's not great.
You are second in top 75 NBA draft prospects, as usual. That's 0.86 per team. You were third in average net ranking and fourth in average net ranking, excluding the bottom two teams. So decent numbers, but you can tell like they're very much a drop-off from those top three to the next best thing. And then you got the ACC there at fifth. Just a huge struggle. They're going to have to build something. I mean, like Syracuse was their only good team last year, and they were an 11 seed that made a Sweet 16 run because they got kind of lucky with their seeding. Like, that's just how it was. They were third in NCAA tournament bid percentage. They were seventh in the NCAA tournament record. They were third in top 75 draft picks, and they were sixth in both average net rankings and average net ranking, excluding the bottom two teams. Not really a surprise there out of the Power Five for them to be ranked fifth. Big East is back. They're the sixth, the first non-Power 5 conference to be on the board. The Big East is sixth here with Creighton and Villanova, obviously trying to Villanova's going to be good this year. I'm just going to go ahead and say that right now. Villanova is going to be very talented. Gillespie returning, adding key pieces, only losing Robinson Earl. It's going to be a very, very tough team to beat. Projecting right now, Villanova will be a top two seed in the NCAA tournament. All it's
right.
not really a shocker, but calling it in May is a big deal. So I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. There will be a top two seed.
Yeah, you have a bit of an advantage there, because if it hits, you know, if that happens, you're going to remember and tell everybody. Mm-hmm. But if it doesn't, no one will remember.
Yeah,
you know?
Clip it.
Like, we're not going to hold you. I'm not going to be, like getting ready for tournament time, and I'm gonna be like, "Oh yeah, you remember that one time? They're a 5 seed, you idiot."
It's because you know I'm going to be right on a lot of other basketball things, right, to where thing won't even matter.
Okay.
Number 7 is the AAC. Obviously, Houston was the big winner out of that conference as they made it to the Final Four. But you also have Memphis and Wichita State, Temple, SMU, UCF, these teams that have shown some flashes. Cincinnati is the big concern in this conference, though, as they have had a ton of drama, some abuse reports inside of the team with the coach kind of being forced out. So something to keep your eye on there. They are the 7th and the 2nd ranked non-Power 5 school. So just I thought it was interesting going through the rankings by the numbers for these conferences. What conference do you think is going to have the most impressive? I won't say best, and not even just based off of those numbers. Just what conference are you expecting to impress the most people this upcoming season?
I think the ACC will probably bounce back. I mean, not in a big way. They won't be as bad as they were, but to surprise people with, like, you know, another step. I think the SEC takes another step. I mean, Tennessee is going to be a world beater next year, fingers crossed. I think Kentucky has a decent shot at maybe. I mean, they won't be as bad as they were last year.
Kentucky, Duke,
they'll make the tournament.
Will make the tournament.
Yeah.
Like, those blue bloods are going to make the tournament.
Yeah.
GP, what do you think?
What if Coach K retires? He's apparently
they're still going to make.
Apparently, he's considering. They might lose out on Paolo Banchero. He's considering going to the G League and skipping out on.
I got excited for a second.
Well, he's not coming.
I don't know. I think
I
think it'll be the SEC, and that might be a homer take, but I just think there's going to be a lot of good teams.
Yes.
Next year, Alabama's going to be good again. They're getting a top point guard, 5-star point guard. Musselman's going to have Arkansas doing their thing.
Tons of transfers. Georgia, Auburn are going to be.
Tennessee should be even better than they were last year.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky will bounce back. Everybody knows that.
I'm gonna say I Big Ten has been my team. They've been my conference that I hyped up all last season, and they did not perform. I think the Big 12 and the Big Ten are gonna have the two hardest roads, and I think the Big Ten are going to impress some people. I think some of those teams are gonna bounce back. I think it's time for that Wisconsin brand of basketball to start winning again. We'll be right back. Hour two next.
Like it or not, social media is here to stay. Your business needs to stand out on social media, helping you get in front of your customers, fans, and connections, especially as more and more happens online. Smarter Searches is a local digital marketing agency that specializes in social media marketing. They can write Facebook posts, create images for Instagram, manage your reputation and reviews online, help you with setting up stores on your social media pages, or help train your staff to do it yourself. Visit SmarterSearches.com to learn more about their social media packages and how they can make your social media easier and smarter.
Hi, I'm Dr. Michael Cotton.
Welcome back in, Fan and Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, Overtime Hour 2. Getting started live from the Fandren Radio Studios. Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, GP3, Trey Patterson in the studio with you guys, as always, going up until 8 p.m. This is the final hour of overtime. If you want to come hang out with us, hop on the G3 Help Me Hotline. The number to get to the G3 Help Me Hotline is 865-546-8200. Again, I say 865-546-8200 if you want to hop on here with us. Slow news day, so as always, we'll take some callers. If you or a loved one's been injured in an accident, call the Knoxville Baseball Offices of G. Turner Howard III. Visit G3Elmy.com or call them at 865-558-8030. Serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience, let the G3 team get you the money you deserve. This is G3Helpme.com. And from G3, we go to GP3 with some news topics.
All right, yeah. One of the big ones I found today, a little bit of a recruiting update of some sorts. We got a crystal ball for a 3-star corner out of Nashville, Tennessee, DeArco Perkins McAllister. He is a 3-star, but he's at a position of need. And even though he's a 3-star, his offer list is pretty impressive. He's got offers from a lot of the big-time programs, including Georgia, Florida, I want to say Ohio State, pretty much all
Do
the big ones.
Do you want to say Ohio State, or are you going to say Ohio State? Because if you're going to say Ohio State, say Ohio State. Is it Ohio State?
Yeah. Well,
sick.
yeah,
he's not a bad offer list, though.
No, he's got a good offer list. There's only 4 crystal balls in. They're all towards Tennessee.
What is he from?
He'll be in this upcoming recruiting class, 2022.
Sick.
I think I lose track of him now.
Yeah, as soon as I graduated high school, I had no idea what recruiting classes were going on. So, I just knew, like, 2020 was the kids my age. Like, I was the same age as these kids, and they were going to be more successful than me. Now it's just kids younger than me. It's scary.
But aside from DeArco, Perkins, McAllister, there were a couple big names that hit the transfer portal. Stephen Carr, who was a former five-star running back, went to USC out in California. He's hit the portal. And there's not like a huge connection between the two, but we have gone into USC and snagged. We got the defensive lineman earlier, not too long ago.
USC has come in and snagged a coach from us before, so there's a little bit of history there.
Velus Jones came from there, and they would have been on the same team at the time because this guy's a senior. He's only got 1 year of eligibility left.
Probably from the same skills team, skilled position room as well.
So we have an in there somewhere, and running back I think is a position that could – definitely be upgraded.
Definitely at least senior leadership. We are missing all kind of.
We have Tyon Evans and
Jabari Smalls, T. Hodge.
Jabari Small, T. Hodge.
All those guys.
D. Beckwith, is it?
D. Beckwith, but I don't even know. He kind of is just a hybrid player. I don't know if you would want to strictly make him a running back. We do have linebacker Jeremy Banks, who we could flip back to running back if we
do the Quavarius Crouch method, the 1 yard line, hand it off. Outside of him, though, there's one more, Tyreek Johnson. He's a corner from Ohio State. Also hit the portal. He's also a former five-star.
Okay. Now, is there any in there, or is that just him transferring?
Well, he's from the South. He's an SEC guy.
Okay.
He's from Florida, but I don't know if he's actually wanting to play in Florida or what the deal is there. But he is from the South, so I'm sure we recruited him hard out of high school.
He's probably going to Alabama.
More than likely.
Wide receiver from Ohio State just committed to Alabama, so I wouldn't be surprised if there's a little bit of an exodus going over to the Crimson Tide. I mean, it's good to have crystal balls. I like getting excited for recruits. Don't get me wrong. But it does numb the excitement, kind of tamper the excitement when you're getting excited about a three-star. It's kind of like when you're at a party and you remember you have homework or why am I here? What am I celebrating right now? You know what I mean? Like, it is nice to celebrate recruits, so you need to celebrate every little win you can get. But at the same time, if we're celebrating three stars, it is a little bit of an eye-opening thing of like, man, really, we're celebrating three stars just because they have good offer lists? Like, it is a little bit of a sobering experience,
right.
I guess.
See, during the Butch Jones and Jeremy Pruitt eras, I used to follow recruiting, like, religiously. Like, I would not necessarily follow the guys on Twitter, but, like, I was always checking in on the 247 sites and everything.
Yeah, checking
like,
the pages and stuff.
Yeah, like, reading the message boards, everything.
Just watching huddles.
Yeah, like, I would do all that, and, I mean, just never seemed to go anywhere. Like, even the big names we got never performed. Like, the Khalil McKenzie's was he was a number one overall player, according to ESPN. Never really panned out. Some other big names that just never really panned out
for
us.
We were talking about those last night.
So now just kind of not really paying as much attention to it. Just the guys we get, hopefully they get coached up. I'm just not going to necessarily pay as much attention as I used to.
And player development seems to be something that UCF was at least decent at, because obviously they were able to win with the players they got there, and recruiting wasn't the strength, or at least was a weakness that was described about Heupel when coming in here. I mean, they got a ton of players drafted this past draft. Like, it was a very impressive thing. I believe they got 6 players drafted. I could be a little over or a little under on that number. But, like, if you're not getting great recruits, but you're still getting drafted out of UCF, that shows some sort of player development right there.
Yeah.
That makes me a little bit more comfortable with getting those level of players.
I'm excited for what Heupel can do. I mean, at the very least, I know he's going to have the offense clicking and, like, doing what they need to do. We should be able to score. I don't know about the defense, but at the very least, the offense should be competent.
Yeah,
something we haven't seen in quite a while.
We talked about this. I think Alex and Comas was the only one who disagreed with me, and I don't even know if it was disagree or just wasn't as excited about it as I am. But like, I would much rather lose a game 30-45. If I have to lose by 14, I would much rather lose 34-20 or something like that than ever get blanked 14-0. Like, that 14-0 is just not fun.
You know what's also not fun is when we lost to Georgia 42-0 or whatever it was.
It was 41-0, but yeah, that was not fun. No, it was. Thank you for bringing that up, GP3. I appreciate
but no,
that.
Look at Ole Miss last year when they played Alabama. They went, you know, toe to toe with them. It was Ole Miss scored, Alabama scored.
That was one of the most exciting football games of all season long. I really thought Ole Miss was going to be able to pull it out. It was first team to get a stop won because Alabama got a stop late in that game, scored 2 more times, and then it was a two possession ball game the rest of the time.
Right.
It was,
and that'd be a fun if if Tennessee can play Alabama like that this year, just keep it somewhat close, I'd be perfectly fine with that.
100%.
And then let's see progression throughout Heupel's tenure.
Obviously. Yeah. I don't think anybody's going to get too overworked up about any losses. You don't want to lose to Pitt. You definitely don't want to lose to Bowling Green. But, like, you get those out of the way, you do what you're supposed to do, then I don't think you'll have any issue with anything else throughout here. Speaking of Heupel, speaking of the team, I do have an article right here talking about his comments about the Aaron Wilson – or the Aaron Willis, my apologies, Martavius French, Caden Salter, and Isaac Washington arrest on the misdemeanor drug charges and all those fun things. Here's the quote talking with the Heupel talking to a radio station locally here. Those guys are currently in the process of just earning their way back inside our program. Heupel said, there's a standard of what it means to be a student here at the university. There's a standard of what it means to represent this football program and this athletic department. Our kids are going to live right, do right. That's on the field and that's off the field. But we also understand that kids are going to make mistakes and you give them an opportunity to grow and look forward to those guys going through that process here during the course of the summer. So little summer reset plan.
Which ones were the ones that transferred? I thought a couple of the ones involved in that.
You had Washington and French, the two geographical last names.
So French did transfer?
Yes. Okay. Aaron Willis and Kadon Salter.
Aaron Willis is the one I don't want to lose.
Yes, for sure. And Salter.
Well,
I mean,
Salter too, but
you have five quarterbacks you can choose from. If Salter dips out or has to get kicked off the team or something like that, it's not the end of the world. Linebacker is a desperate need, and right. With French already gone, you definitely do not want to lose Willis as well. I agree on that.
It hurts losing French. I mean, he was a four-star coming out of high school. Mm-hmm. But as we've seen in the past, just because you're a four- or five-star, I guess it doesn't really mean a whole lot, especially if you can't stay out of trouble.
For sure. I'm trying to find out. I had an idea. I don't know how much I like it. Talking about you big Uber Facts guy?
I like Uber Facts.
Yes. You like Uber
Facts? Pretty good, yeah.
I was just looking through their Twitter page.
I used to follow it. I was real big into it when I was in, like, 8th grade.
Tweet notifications on?
No. God, no.
No.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
I used to follow him on Twitter.
Yeah, I would follow him. I would, you know, one of those things, might have been like a 8th grade freshman in high school, but like...
8th grade freshman in high school?
Yeah, you know, those, they come back to back.
One of those twos.
You know, constantly just reading one and then immediately just saying it to my mom to try and sound smart, and she'd be like, haha, cool. Yeah.
I'm trying to find some.
I would just annoy people with the Uber Facts.
Did you know that Taser and Laser are both acronyms?
Yes. I know Taser is an acronym.
Taser stands for Thomas A. Swift's Electric Rifle.
Yeah.
Laser stands for Light Amplification by Stimulated Emission of Radiation.
I did not know
Insane.
That.
Insane. Wow. Incredible.
Every odd number has the letter E in it.
Okay.
On the day that Julie Garland, the lady who played Dorothy,
right,
a tornado touched down in Kansas.
Shoot. Are you kidding?
No, it's Uber Facts, man. I wouldn't lie.
Yeah, it's always facts. I like when
but
people...
But doesn't a tornado touch down in Kansas like every other day?
Yeah, all the time. I mean, she was probably born
doesn't
in
a lady
a
named
summer
Julie
month.
Die every other day, too?
I mean, pretty much any name, it's probably dying. Tornadoes are touching down. It's raining. Everything's always happening everywhere. That's how the world works. Whew. Man, slow day, huh?
Merely smelling someone who's happy can also make you happier.
Just smelling something? Mm-hmm. I can, yeah, no. I mean, if I, like, smell...
Why Tucker stinks so
if
bad.
If I was like, come on, dude.
I'm sorry. I called you happy.
I'm sure it didn't really say good. I mean, you didn't have to say stink. You could say I smell good, you know, that I'm a happy guy. I smell all right.
That's why Tucker smells so much.
I'm sniffing? Okay. Sure.
That's why Tucker has so much scent.
I mean, have you ever seen anyone upset whenever they walk into a house and smell cookies baking? Or like some like steaks?
I don't know if I've ever walked into a house and there's just been like cookies baking.
Or been in a house. You ever smelled cookies before, Will?
I have smelled cookies.
You know
before.
What cookies smell like?
Yeah.
A chocolate chip cookie?
Yeah.
The homemade
I mean,
kind?
There's yes, what you're saying is
it's a fantastic
psychological phenomenon.
It's a good one.
People who sell houses, realtors, bake cookies or cook beans in houses depending
beans?
On the... Yeah, my dad.
Beans?
My dad was a banker for... How long do you think you could go with that?
A good while.
Let's not try it.
Yeah, no.
But no, my dad, he was a banker for a minute, and so he was in the house. Oh. He was in the housing market area, like that's right, where you right. finance things. That's what bankers do.
You go to
do.
Banks, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. You get money and stuff like that
for sure.
And so he knew a lot of realtors, and what his realtors told him was that most of the time they would either cook a giant pot of like ham and beans or like cinnamon beans, or throw some cookies in, and like but
no,
beans
it works.
Smell good.
No, sure,
like, things
yeah.
that make you like,
but just.
It's like that the cartoon the scent literally picking you up by the nose. I just
yeah.
made myself nasally by accidentally grabbing my own nose because I have no depth perception.
It picks you up by the nose.
You sound like Squidward.
SpongeBob. No, it's not that good. It's not that close.
Not anywhere close.
But like the idea, like if I wanted to sell my house, right? So I'm in the future. And my future wife.
The future.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, that one wasn't far off. But I'm in the future.
That was good.
Yeah, that one was closer than mine was. But my wife.
I met someone who could do the step sound perfectly. Funny.
Right.
Every time they walk, they would do the Squidward step sound. Funniest yeah. thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, not even close. Yeah, that one. Yeah, that's not bad. You got Squidward pretty down. But and my wife comes to me. She's like, "We need to sell the house. I've got people coming over to check out the house." And I'm like, "Oh my God, do we have any beans?" She would look at me like I was an insane person.
They pour pickles in the yeah. air duct so it smells like pickles throughout the house.
It's like people like this
what
stuff,
scent,
all right?
What scent do you think would like make you buy a house?
Steak.
Steak is yours?
Really? Yeah, like a just...
I think I would get to like aggro. Like I feel like steak, it releases like the inner
predatorial
yeah, yeah, yeah.
instinct.
Like when I'm about to have a steak, I get aggressive, and so
right?
I don't know if I would buy a house in an aggressive mood.
Ooh, walk in, it just kind of smells like a chicken casserole.
Love chicken casserole.
Ooh,
love
like that just casserole. That hearty just smell.
Cream of mushroom in there.
I'm bringing that up because I was thinking about 20 minutes ago. Man, I'd love some chicken casserole.
I haven't had chicken casserole in forever.
Yeah, I only make the ones my mom makes.
See, I don't make.
I'm
it.
Loyal.
I
yeah, I mean, I only eat.
Yeah, there you go.
The
you
one
go.
Mom makes, like I. I've had it from other people. It just doesn't. It
doesn't hit.
No,
doesn't
mama's
hit.
Cooking.
Well, what would what? It doesn't even have to be a food smell. Just like what smell say, would
I like
make
the
you
smell
buy
of
a house.
Tobacco. So like a tobacco smell. Not
okay,
like,
no, the, like
the tobacco fields.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a homey feel. If you ever grew up in those areas,
just like
not like
a
smell of a can of
just
dip.
Like,
yeah, like we're not talking like. You know, wintergreen.
Just walk into an apartment. Oh, this smells like cigarettes. Yeah, I want this.
Awesome. Where do I sign?
Oh, no. I'm going to have to pay extra for the smell of lung cancer. That's just exactly what I'm
yeah.
going for in this house.
Just,
I'm trying to think what smell. I don't know if like there would be. There would definitely be smells that would turn me away. Like if I smelled gasoline or something like that. Like gas leak. No,
gas
leak.
Sometimes when you're pumping
gas,
the gas and you smell.
It's a. If you smelt it in a house, that would signal a
bad.
Gas
no.
leak.
Well, you don't have ethanol gas in the pipes.
Well,
that's...
natural gas is not. It doesn't have a smell.
It's
scented
yeah,
strictly
they,
for people
sure.
to be able to smell gas leaks.
Yeah, but it smells different than what you put in the car.
Yeah, it smells
like
rotten eggs.
Did I say gasoline?
You said, well, I guess gas.
I said gas.
Sure.
You were the one who assumed the liquidified
sure. Okay,
version.
But you can't bring up gas right now. And I mean, it's pretty topical.
Sorry.
I mean, everybody assumes, all right? But no, ethanol, gasoline, I wouldn't like get a candle of that smell. But it's not a bad smell.
Speaking of candles of weird smells, did you see where Travis Barker posted on his Instagram story?
Yeah, okay.
No, it's exactly what you think.
No.
It's exactly what you think.
Is it the opposite of Gwyneth Paltrow?
No, it is. It's not the opposite. Gwyneth Paltrow sent him a candle themed Kourtney Kardashian.
How did Gwyneth Paltrow?
No idea.
Do you have to?
Do you want me to?
Did she consent to this candle?
Do you want me to look up the ingredients real quick?
If someone came out with a me candle and started selling them, and I didn't give them permission,
it smells like Tucker's vagina.
Number one, I would want to know. Okay, come on.
No, that's what they're all titled. That's what they're all titled.
Sure, sure.
Hers are.
But
no. I can't say the other one.
It's an anatomical body part.
No, but it's not as fun. Like vagina is a funny word.
Okay.
Penis is not.
We're not
a,
getting
a
into
funny
etymology
word, you know what I mean?
Funny words now. Just talk to me about Kourtney Kardashian.
But no, that's what
and Travis Barker.
That's what all of hers named. Like
right. No, yeah,
is,
I gotcha.
Is this smells like mine?
Yep.
So
sure.
When she makes them for other people, this smells like
right.
And then
okay.
Insert
sure.
Name.
Sure.
So Kim got one when Kanye and Kim announced their breakup. Kourtney or Travis Barker. Was sent one by Gwyneth Paltrow
just,
that says, "This smells like Kourtney's vagina." It's a
God,
fantastic brand. I'll find the ingredients real quick. Let me find the story.
Like, they've got to be, like, the title is just, like, a funny thing. Like, they're not trying to make it actually sound
smell. My apologies. Not vagina. Orgasm.
Okay. Well, like, all right. Like, that's any better. Like, I think it would have been okay if you hadn't cleared that up. But, I mean, I hope they've just got, like, it's like balsa wood and, like, you know, like pine.
Here's the ingredients.
It's just normal candles.
The company's website describes the orgasm scent as a sexy, surprising, and wildly addictive scent. It's a mix of grapefruit.
Okay.
Neroil. N-E-R-O-L-I. Neroli. And ripe cassis berries blended with gunpowder tea and Turkish rose absolutes.
Okay. So this just smells like a candle.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I see what they're doing now.
I think the scent that would make me buy a house is Gwyneth Paltrow.
Come on, Will. Come on.
We'll be right back.
Jeez.
So you're watching the game and you see another ad for fans.
Welcome back in, Overtime Hour 2, rolling right along live from the Fandom Radio Studios. It's Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, GP3, Trey Patterson in the studio with you guys. Blake Bortles signing with the Green Bay Packers today as of about an hour and a half ago, 2 hours ago. What does this mean for Mr. Aaron Rodgers?
I think it means he's getting chopped. I mean, obviously,
is Blake Bortles a replacement?
A replacement? I mean,
or do you go with Jordan Love?
Like, regardless of who they go with, they needed another quarterback. I mean, they only had
two on roster: Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love.
Yeah, I mean, if he's gonna eventually get his way and he's gonna get out of Green Bay, you can't have just one quarterback on your roster. That's a good surefire way to just have a disaster of a season. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, picking up Blake Bortles, he's a guy who's played in playoff games, played in the AFC Championship game, did he not?
He did not.
Yeah. I mean, so...
Like, very poor performance,
yeah, he
but
played
still.
Really bad.
It was rough, but I mean, he's been there. I mean, he's been in some big moments. He looked really good with the Jaguars there for a little bit. Got replaced, but he's still, like, if you want to roll with Jordan Love, he's one of the better backups in the league right now, I would think.
I like him. I mean,
to be determined.
Funny dude.
To be determined, yeah, I mean, going forward, but...
I mean, people don't like Jared Goff, and he wasn't able to beat out Jared Goff. So
sure.
I don't think he's going to be any strong competition anywhere.
But I think it does mean that Aaron Rodgers, it's becoming more serious about him getting out of Green Bay. I mean, it was already pretty serious to begin with. Like, it looked like he had a pretty good shot at getting out of there, and they were going to have to find something to do with him and get as much as they could. But I think them signing another quarterback means that it's... the ball is rolling in that direction. Like, regardless, it may not end up in the destination, but right now it's heading that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can agree with that. I saw an interesting tweet. Shout out David Britt, Mr. Britt, one of our favorite callers. It's been a minute, but he tweeted out today, and it was a very interesting poll. I voted on it. I don't know if anybody else participated in the poll.
I did.
You did?
Yes.
So you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He tweeted out today, you can only choose one in the next 12 months. College World Series win, men's Final Four, football plus or 9+ wins, or a women's basketball national championship. And right now the poll is dead even for the lead, as a men's Final Four is at 36.2% and the College World Series win is at 36.2%. Football 9+ wins is only at 24.1%. Women's basketball natty, because we've won so many, is at 3.4%.
If you ask this poll in August, I don't think those results would be the same.
No, they would not either. No.
We are. It's May.
I think if you ask it in August, I mean, football would probably be winning, just because we're gonna kid ourselves. Or basketball.
Regardless, I'm choosing basketball.
Basketball would win.
Basketball
is
my choice.
Winning was the wrong word. I think football would have more.
The people who are choosing baseball right now would probably choose football.
Yes, exactly. But I picked baseball. I mean, number one, it's a natty. It's a natty in a sport that we haven't won a natty, you know, we haven't won many natties in. Lady Vols, we got a few of those. 9 wins in football. What does that even really matter? If you get, I'm going with just baseline 9. There's a plus sign there, but
if you get 9, I guess it shows maybe you can build something, but you have to build something. You can't just come in with 9 wins and that be success. You have to show continuous growth. That's what every Vol fan is looking to see.
Yeah.
So you can't just have 9 wins and be like, okay, my job here is done. 9 wins is going
to
cut it.
Yeah, we're still far from where we need to be.
And if you get 9 wins in your first season, that I think that sets up this may sound stupid, but stick with me. I think if you get 9 wins, don't get me wrong, I do want 9 wins. I would take as many wins in this first season as I can. But if you get 9 wins in your first season or more, that sets very high expectations for the remainder of your tenure. Now, again, I would love 9+ wins in football. I would take an undefeated season this year. But that sets immense standards and expectations for this tenure to where you might want to win less. You don't want to win, but you're going to be satisfied with 7 or 8 or 6. Like, 6 is the baseline of
six,
what you
seven,
can
eight
be satisfied
like...
with, but you don't want to set yourself up for failure by winning too many games. Now, again, you want to win as many games as possible, but it really would set you up for failure if you won too many games this first season and didn't churn out anything else for the rest of the seasons.
Winning 9 games in the first season could give you a little longer leash in the later years, though. I mean, years 2, 3, and 4.
But the whole thing that everyone has been saying for the longest time about coaching staffs and the main complaint, I guess, maybe the main complaint I'm seeing or what I've seen, or maybe this is just what I'm feeling subconsciously, is the growth prospect. We've talked about it earlier with the growth. You want development. You want growth. You want to see things building in the right direction. And again, if you get 9+ wins, I don't know how much there is to build off of that other than just an undefeated season. Anything underneath that looks like a disappointment, even if you are growing. If you get 8 wins the next season, or if you get 10 wins this season and 9 wins the next season, is that just face value, it looks like you got worse, even if you got better.
It would depend on how it would be. If it's a, you know, year 1 to year 2 thing, I mean, year 2 people wouldn't be that hard. Be like, okay, like down years kind of happen. Last year was a bit of a surprise regardless. But if it continued into year 3 and 4 where we were getting like, you know, 6, 7, 5, 6, 7, like you would start to kind of think, okay, that first year was a fluke. You know, it wasn't so much him. It was just, you know, pretty much luck. Because right now it won't be a major talent carrying him to victory. It's an easy schedule and he would win some games that he shouldn't.
But you're going with the College World Series win?
I'm going with the College World Series. It would be really cool. I mean, I love the energy that's around the program right now. I think it would be nice to see a national championship in a sport that, you know, doesn't really get a ton of love. I like the love that they're getting right now, and if they get a national championship, that'll continue. You'll see more hype around them next year and the year after that.
Definitely. I mean, if we haven't opened the door to renovations and figuring out a way to keep Tony V a ring, would definitely open the door to keeping Tony V and
yes.
figuring out what he needs
yeah.
to be successful.
It would give the university even more reason to find a way to make sure he stays for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd take a Final Four just because I'm a basketball guy, but I was very split between College World Series and Final Four. But it's just strictly because I am a basketball guy. My dream has always been to watch Tennessee play in a Final Four. You know what I mean? That's been the lifelong dream. So if you can give me that, I'm taking it. You know what I'm saying?
My thing with going to the Final Four, though, and I guess this is not a Final Four exit. It's just being in the Final Four. I guess you're rolling the dice to see if you win. But I just kind of expanded a little more on myself. Because if that is just playing
you
in
what
the,
on yourself?
Expanded the question.
Oh, okay.
Like, I had initially read that as, like, losing in the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't say national championship. I guess you're still rolling the dice to see if you can try to get two and win the Natty. But
even if it's a loss, I want to see us play in the Final Four.
See,
That's the biggest run we've been on ever.
Sure.
Like, you're talking...
But if I'm talking about...
We've never won a World Series before. Yes, that's true, but we've also... Like,
Before, have we not? Never won one?
We've been, but
okay,
we've never won.
Gotcha. When it comes to... I would rather win it than attend it.
No, that's very fair. That's very fair. If I had the option to win the Final Four or lose in the Final Four, I'm taking the win, but...
Sure.
You know what I mean?
I'll take the surefire, you know, ring, the surefire national championship over rolling the dice, and...
I hate to be disrespectful to the baseball fans.
I'm not a huge basketball guy either.
I hate to be disrespectful to the baseball fans, because I'm getting more on board with baseball as this goes on. But how impactful, comparatively... is a ring in baseball to a I would think that a Final Four berth, regardless if you win that Final Four, a Final Four berth puts your team on the map more than winning the College World Series. Now, I could just be stupid.
Are you talking about in the media or with like recruiting?
In the media. It's going to help regardless.
Sure, sure.
Both sides will. But like,
if you're talking about ESPN, then yeah. Sure. Yeah, the basketball Final Four.
But that's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. You will get that the eyes on the brand. I watch the College World Series, but really only the championship. You know what I mean? Like, I watch every game of the tournament, every Final Four matchup I've watched. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a very interesting thought process, though. But speaking of the College World Series, we were talking about before the show, we were talking about walk-up music, as obviously Tony V got to come on and play a jam or not a jam. And I wanted to pick y'all's brains of what your walk-up music would be, because, I mean, I played baseball when I was younger. Did you play baseball when you were younger, GP?
I played in high school.
You played in high school? Oh, big deal. What about you, Tucker? Do you have a walk-up song when you were in high school?
No, we were going to do it, and then we just couldn't get somebody to sit up in the little booth.
You couldn't have someone, like, handle ox?
They said they were going to, and it just never happened. Nothing ever amounted to it.
That's messed up, man. Yeah. That's so messed up. Tucker, what about you? Did you ever play baseball when you were younger?
I played baseball. I played Little League. Like, I played all the way through Little League.
Same, I played until, like, fifth grade.
Yeah, I didn't play in middle school. I quit playing baseball after that. We did not have walk-up songs, which is a bummer because it's one of my favorite things in sports. It's just having music, only your music, and you walk up. It's pretty cool. But I never got to a level high enough to where I could do that. So I have some walk-up music in the show. That's pretty cool. It's just default guitar music, but I mean...
Classic rock?
Probably. That's probably the genre that I picked. It would make sense. Maybe hip-hop. I might have threw some hip-hop in there. And some, like, metal, just because it's guitars.
What song would you want to be your walk-up song if you were playing college baseball right now? What song would be... If you had a walk-up song every time you walked into this studio, someone had to play a bumper for you, what song are they playing for you?
I'm a huge... regardless of his politics or whatever he has done outside of music, I'm going to go ahead and say that. I love the guitar and Stranglehold by Ted Nugent.
I knew you were about to say Ted Nugent as soon as you
clarified.
I thought he was going to say Kid Rock.
He's a little wild character. I don't know a ton about him. I just know the song Stranglehold.
How much would you have to be paid to go to that Kid Rock bar and get pooped poured on you?
I've been to that bar before.
And had poop poured on you?
No, not that.
God, no. But do you guys know Stranglehold? Yeah. Like that...
I'm a big Cat Scratch Fever song.
Yeah, like me walking up. I think I would hit 1,000 with 200 home runs if I had that walk-up music. I don't see a world in where I'm not getting the barrel to the ball. Because that song pumps me up pretty good. That was an unofficial theme song of my high school football team whenever I was in high school. And that song carried from, like, when it came out. The players at Rutledge High School made that there, and it just kind of...
kept on going?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
It's pretty cool.
What about you, GP?
I'd go along the same lines of I want a song that's going to pump me up, get me in the zone.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a great song, but just a song that gets me hype. For me, that's Coming Undone by Korn.
Okay.
Did you see that Korn is debuting? They're going to do a 2021 summer tour. You getting tickets?
No, I did not see that.
Is that like a hard
K,
yeah.
yes.
hard rock song?
Yeah.
Heavy guitar?
Mm.
Yeah, I think it doesn't even really matter the exact song. If I just have like a hard guitar, just like someone just shredding on it, that'd get me going. That'd get me ready to absolutely smack one out of the yard.
I got a couple. I can't decide on just one looking through my Spotify playlist. I think classic rock-wise, I think I'm going to have to go Roxanne by The Police. That song gets me going. I love The Police. The band. Day Tripper by The Beatles is one of my favorite guitar solos or guitar riffs in general. I would probably throw that one on my list. And to finish out classic rock, I'm in between two Led Zeppelin songs. Black Dog.
Just the
call and response of Black Dog is fire.
I would like to walk up. I would have it interchangeable. You know, you can have multiple to let them surprise you. I would also have a Voodoo Child by Jimi Hendrix.
It's a good song.
Just that guitar lick. Just
see, another one that gets me hype is Voodoo by Godsmack.
I don't think I've heard that.
I think
one.
They got a cover of Voodoo Child.
No,
or is
it's
it just
Voodoo?
Voodoo. Oh, it's a different song. Okay. Okay, I'll check that one out.
What are they copying?
Like, who do they think they are?
If I have to go hip hop, it's definitely gonna be Mac Miller. I'm either going Learn How to Watch. I don't know if any of you have heard that song. Fantastic song. That or I'm Not Real or Break the Law. Break the Law is just such a banger. Break the Law, like, I mean, it's in the name. He just talks about breaking the law, and it's a fantastic song. Those would probably be my walk up songs.
Mac Miller song I would choose. I can't say the name of it on air. It's got some bad words in it.
I'm thinking get a little rush going, just get Tom Sawyer. Just da-na-na-n, 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 da-na-na-n. Dude,
you've confused me. Will you at least tell me the title and bleep out the bad words? I'm a Mac Miller stan, and I don't know what song you're talking about.
I'm not an expert on FCC guidelines, so I'm not sure what words.
Oh, so there's a bunch of them.
There's two.
Okay.
I think one can be said on air.
Just bleep both of them out.
Just bleep them both out.
Okay, it's Lucky Blank Blank.
Oh, yeah, it's a fantastic song. Yeah. That's a fantastic song. I got you now. My bad. Lucky Blank Blank.
Yeah.
I normally call that just Lab. That's just okay. Lab. It goes by the abbreviation. It has Juicy J on it. Fantastic song. Fantastic beat as well. Fantastic beat. That's a good pick. I'm kind of upset.
Also, the acronym lets everyone at home know what the words are.
Yeah,
way to do that, Will. That was good.
I'm actually saying
good job.
I couldn't tell if you
because I was over here because I don't know the song, and I was like,
I'll play it for you during the break.
It's a good song.
Dude, one of my favorite beats in general.
And it's not very well known either by the, I would say.
Oh, no, not at all. Not anywhere close. Faces, my favorite mixtape, turned 7 years old yesterday, which is crazy to think about.
7 years, good Lord.
Mine was No Ceilings. By Lil Wayne.
Oh, that's a great mixtape.
Yeah,
it's a great mixtape. Lord. Music, man. I wish I played baseball.
Uber fact of the day. Music gives you the same feeling as sex and drugs do, according to uberfacts.com. Right.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, music's pretty cool.
Is that why people play music when they're having sex
dude,
and
that's
doing
like,
drugs?
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
No, I mean, every time I listen to it...
Your head might explode. Every time I listen... You gotta take it easy with that kind of stuff.
Every time I listen to a song, I break a sweat and have to smoke a cigarette afterwards.
There you go.
We'll be right back. Birthday's next. It's time for the birthday game. As always, people have children, and then when it's their birthday, we do trivia questions about them. Today, it's GP3 versus Tucker. GP, you've played, obviously, before you've been here a couple of times now. You ready for the birthday game?
I am.
GP, are you?
Yeah, let's get it.
Sounds good. We'll start in the world of movies. There's a good amount of actors today. I'm going to hold off on a couple just because they're a little bit of stretches, and then if we have to come back, I'll come back to them. But I got two solid names right here in front of me, starting with the first guy. He says TV actor, but you're going to know him probably more from the most recent film he's been in. May 12, 1981, Los Angeles, California, 40 years old today. Award-winning actor best known for his roles as Elliot Alderson in the USA series Mr. Robot and Freddie Mercury in the 2018 film Bohemian Rhapsody.
I can see his face.
Rami Malek.
It is Rami Malek. Good pull right there.
Boom.
Good pull.
Woo!
Another actor today, again, like I said, there's a couple other actors, but they're more stretches than these two guys, so we're going to hold off on the other ones until we have to go back to them. May 12th, 1978, Pompton Plains, New Jersey, 43 years old today, actor, movie actor, who rose to fame as Jim Levinston in the American Pie film franchise. He went on to portray Larry Bloom on the hit Netflix series Orange is the New Black, and a voice actor, he provided the voice of Leonardo in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Name associated, his name has two movie titles kind of in it. Think Friday the 13th and think Tom Hanks aging in reverse.
Freddy Big? Jason Big.
Jason.
It's Jason Big.
It is not Jason Big.
It's Jason Biggs.
It's Jason Biggs. I'm giving him the point. But yes, it is Jason Biggs.
Okay.
Decent hints right there. Good job, Will.
Yeah, I didn't know the Tom Hanks movie was.
You haven't
big.
Seen Big?
No, I know what it is.
Solid
Dancing
fan.
On the Piano, is that in
yeah.
the movie?
Yeah,
yeah. I know of it.
I think that's the only scene I can really remember
that's
movie.
That's the movie. That's the whole.
They just dance on a piano.
It's
and
like a 7 minute long movie. They dance on a piano. I don't really get the whole hype around it.
May 12th, 1937, New York City, New York, passed away June 22nd, 2008 at the age of 71. Legendary, legendary name right here. Comedian, considered by many to be the greatest stand-up comedian of all time. He put out 14 stand-up comedy specials for HBO in his career and was the first host of Saturday Night Live in 1975.
Richard Pryor.
It is not Richard Pryor. He was posthumously awarded the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor in 2008.
Bill Hicks.
It is not Bill Hicks. He's most famous for the 7 dirty words you can't say on
That's
radio.
That's George Carlin.
Yes, I'm very disappointed in both of you.
I was getting too...
Richard Pryor was my first thought, too, but I was just waiting for...
I was too buried in the weeds thinking of, like, further back comedians.
Bill Hicks was after George Carlin, but I like where your brain
is
at.
Yeah,
decent,
like,
names to throw out,
like,
there.
Like names that, like, a lot of people don't really know.
Yeah. May 12th, 1983, another comedian right here, Vancouver, Canada, 38 years old today. Arguably, in my opinion, one of the funniest people I've ever watched. Canadian comedian and writer, best known
That's
for
Jim
his co-creating
Jeffries.
And starting in... Canadian?
Oh, okay, no. He has an accent. Whatever. Same thing.
He's best known for co-creating and starring in the Comedy Central series that has his name in it, and for writing comedy sketches on TV shows such as Canadian Idol and Important Things with Dimitri Martin, who's one of my favorite musical comedians. In 2006, he was given the
Tim Sims Award
for Outstanding Canadian Comedian Newcomer.
Is it, if I say the name of one of his shows that has his name in it, can I try for that? I don't know his last name.
Don't know. I can't help you there.
What's it? Okay, can you do initials?
NF?
Yeah, what's his last name, bro?
Think baseball.
Is it Nathan Fields? Nathan.
Everyone in the who's playing out in the outfield are out.
Fielders. Nathan Fielder.
Nathan Fielder is correct. One of,
okay.
Arguably the funniest human being I've ever watched on TV.
He's very dry.
So funny, dude. He's so funny. Nathan for You is a top five TV show of all
time. I watched a couple episodes of it, and it's okay.
It's much better when it's taken out of the TV show and just posted on Twitter, where it's just one of the scenes. That's normally where it gets most of the love.
Yeah, it felt a little extended. But, like, there were some very funny parts.
May 12, 1998, Harlem, New York, 23 years old today. Basketball player. Power forward / center who played at the University of Texas as a 5-star recruit out of Westtown High School.
Mo Bamba?
It is Mo Bamba.
Yeah. I had to think of guys. You know how you were talking about earlier about recruiting classes, and you were like, wow, these guys are my age? Mm-hmm. I was like, what NBA player is my age?
Fair enough. I was not expecting anybody to get Mo Bamba without me saying most known for the hip-hop song.
Yeah.
May 12th. 1979, Los Angeles, California, 42 years old today, football player, scrappy, hot-tempered wide receiver.
Wes Welker.
Who was a scrappy, hot-tempered wide receiver.
Scrappy. I heard scrappy, all right?
Who was a 5-time Pro Bowl selection with the Carolina Panthers before joining the Baltimore Ravens.
Steve Smith.
Steve Smith is correct. Not fast enough.
I love Steve Smith.
Hold off on that last football player. It's a hard name.
Some of his
guess.
Clips on the sideline were so good.
So funny.
Like talking to the camera.
So funny.
He's so good at talking trash.
He really was like the last.
He had a hard. Was he in Hard Knocks at one point? Did he not fight somebody on Hard Knocks?
Probably.
I'm sure he did.
Probably.
Or I've just saw a video of him at practice fighting somebody.
He's probably done that.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking
was
about.
Was it a joint practice, or who am I thinking of?
DeAndre Hopkins also beat the snot out of a formerly known as Redskins player.
Right.
Literally broke his ankle, genuinely injured the dude. And I believe the quote that went viral was, I fear God, homie.
I fear God. Yeah.
Which is a very intimidating thing to say.
It's killer. It works in every scenario.
May 12, 1925, St. Louis, Missouri, passed away at the old age of 90. Very long life lived by this former baseball player. September 22nd, 2015 is when he passed away. 18-time MLB All-Star catcher, 3-time American League MVP, won 10 World Series. Count them,
Yogi Berra.
It is Yogi Berra.
Yeah.
I didn't know he lived that long.
Yeah, neither did I.
That was throwing me off.
He yesterday.
I mean, he was 90. So
on this day in history, yesterday he ended his perfect. I think it was like 380 something games without an error. Ended it yesterday on that date.
Wow, bummer. Yeah. 380 games without an error.
Yeah,
that's nuts.
At catcher.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
No passed balls. No nothing.
No overthrows.
No overthrows. Like he was on.
That's crazy. On.
No drop third strikes.
The ball touches his glove every play, and he didn't make an error in 2 seasons almost.
May 12, 1951, Penn Hills, Pennsylvania, 70 years old today, NBA coach, former NBA guard, who became a very successful NBA head coach. He became the NBA Coach of the Year with the Denver Nuggets in 2013 after leading the team to 57 wins. 2015, he became the head coach of the Sacramento Kings. GK. Very, 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 very close to a name we've already guessed. I mean, in quite literally only 2 letters different.
Okay. It's
George Carlin.
Yeah, it's George Carlson. George.
I have no idea.
It's George Carl.
Wow.
When
okay.
I say there's only 2 letters difference,
all right.
There's only 2 letters difference.
I was trying to substitute some letters, but okay, it's just George Carl.
Straight up, all right. Just George Carl.
Man.
Click through the rest of these before we go back to those actors that I didn't know if you could guess or not. Clicking through here, nope, no one important. How well do y'all know Pianist?
I don't.
Fair enough. We won't do them.
I mean, unless it's...
No, there's no one.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead and cut you off there. Right, we're good. Cool.
I know two.
I play the piano. You know three.
I don't think you'd be on the birthdays website, though.
Definitely not under pianist.
Probably not, no. You can go add yourself to Is Anything You Want, though. Live your dream, dude.
I could, but...
I know all the ones from that Family Guy sketch about... Well,
oh, the were they talking about pianists?
Oh, yeah. Bach. Yeah. Those are just composers, not even strictly piano players. But no. I like where your head's at. Scrolling through here, again, I'm just making sure I'm not missing any names.
Right. Scanning. Being very thorough.
No, that dude. You wouldn't know that dude. I like that dude, though. All right, here. We'll go with this last
one. Okay.
This one. A stretch, but just because we don't have a ton of birthdays and we still got a little bit of time. May 12, 1962, Staten Island, New York, 59 years old. Brat Pack actor who got his start in The Breakfast Club. He acted in cult classics film Repo Man, starring he starred in Young Guns and played the leading role as Coach Gordon Bombay in the Mighty Ducks movies.
Oh, man.
Made short films in high school with classmate Sean Penn. Co-starred with his brother, Charlie Sheen, in the 1990 film Men at Work. There's the hint, he's the brother of...
George Sheen.
Not the same last name.
I can see the guy's face. I don't know what his name is.
E-E.
E-E.
That would be Emilio Estevez.
Oh, that's actually a name I know.
Yes. Yeah. It was a stretch, but it was. I wouldn't ever do a name you wouldn't know.
Yeah.
I guess we can do this last one. I don't think you guys are going to guess it, but perhaps you could. May 12th, 1907, Hartford, Connecticut. Passed away June 29th, 2003, at the age of 96. Named the greatest actress in Hollywood history by American Film Institute in 1999. She set the record by winning 4 Academy Awards for Best Actress in the film The African Queen, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, which is one of my favorite movies, The Lion in Winter, and On Golden Pond. K.H. Has a daughter very famous of the same last name. Her name was Aubrey.
Kelly Harper.
Kelly Hepburn.
That would be one.
Karen Hepburn.
Catherine Hepburn. Catherine Hepburn.
It was close enough.
Solid show today, fellas. GP, appreciate you pulling up. I'm sure we'll see your face a couple more times throughout this two-man show process. Always appreciate the extra mic.
Oh, yeah. No problem. Happy to be here.
Of course. It's good. I mean, it's you, man. It's you. You got to tell everyone we love them.
All right. I didn't know if you had more to say.
No, I don't have more to say. We'll see
love
tomorrow.
You guys. We'll see you tomorrow. We will. I promise.
We'll see you tomorrow.
All right. We love you. I promise.
No lies. No lies. No.